God bless you, Brother Melvin. It's a good time to be on the radio, hopefully being able to speak to some fathers today. And I want to share with them to keep themselves encouraged. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege to be here today. Thank you for the privilege to speak, hopefully, to the hearts of many men that are either fathers or becoming fathers or would-be fathers or grandfathers or whoever, to let them know that they need to stay encouraged. And we thank you for the privilege of being on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege of being on KRAJ 100.9 FM here in the Antelope Valley. We thank you for that privilege. Give us wisdom and give us your anointing today as we speak your word. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I was on my way to a session that I had downtown in Los Angeles, and I thought about, my mind went back many years ago when I was 22 years old, I think it was, when I got married and started a college at Tennessee State, and things were a little rough for me. And 4 years later, I had finished Tennessee State with degrees in engineering and so forth. But as I got out and started looking for a job, everywhere I would go, they'd have up signs saying civil engineers wanted. And but they didn't accept me because I was black in that day. And what, I don't mean I'm not black now. It just means that they did not too many people would hire black engineers at that point. So I got a bit discouraged, but I kept telling myself, I don't care what happened, I'm going to have a job. So by the time I got out of school, I had 3 kids. And by the time I got 28, I had 5 kids. 5 kids. And a bunch of bills that had piled up on me from my wife and I going to school at Tennessee State. So it was kind of discouraging. Believe you me, it was kind of discouraging. And then one night after I had bought ourselves a new station wagon, and when I got home from work, they were hooking up the Internal Revenue had hooked up to take my car, and I got mad, and I don't know why they didn't put me in jail, but I told them to unhook my so-and-so car, and I had some very choice words. Unhook my car and put it back on the ground. And the guy showed me his badge, and I said, I don't give a so-and-so about your badge. Get out of here. And they left. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, even with as ugly as I was, it had to be the goodness of God, because they could have taken me to jail. No question about it. Because my bills were not paid. So I sat in my car all night that night, because I didn't have a garage to put it in. I sat in the car that night, and I looked at all of the bills that I had and set up myself a plan. And the next day when the place started opening up, I started calling all those places that I owed bills so I could make sure that they understood that I'm going to pay their bills, but I had to change the rate by which I was paying them so that I could keep up. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I was able to do that, set up a system for myself, encouraged myself, got myself a dishwashing job there in San Fernando. At that time, they called it the Bullpen, a nice restaurant upon Sierra Highway. And I worked like a hound dog. Then on the weekend, I'd work there on the beach cleaning up trailers where people, I was at it, folks. But through that, I was able to pay my bills and encourage myself and let myself know that I could do what I wanted to do. So I'm saying to you, brothers and particularly talking to fathers today. And I want to say to you, I had a little statement that I was talking to one of my kids, and it's I asked him, a couple, two or three of them, what's the difference between a dad and a father? And one of my daughters who went to got her master's in counseling said the difference between a dad and a father, that most fathers are just donors. They get the wife pregnant and they go on about their business. But a dad is a lifetime commitment. And folks, I stuck to that. I think that is a absolutely good thing to do. But remember this, you've got to keep yourself encouraged, because if you don't keep yourself encouraged, you could end up into any kind of a problem you want to end up into, and find yourself walking away from everything and finding yourself like I did in 1971. I think, 1971, up on a mountain over there near Saugus with intent to take my own life, because I had allowed myself to become discouraged. But finally I got a hold of myself because of the goodness of God, and encouraged myself to the point to where I was able to say, I can do it again. So I want to have you to know, brothers and sisters, that the life highway don't always go like it looks like it's going to go. You get on that highway and things can be going ever so good. And you be making money, putting things together, doing your thing. And all of a sudden something will come loose that you never expected to happen. And you'll find yourself, if you don't watch it, being totally discouraged. But I want you to know that you can be, you can change that situation if you want to. I was looking at a book, and the book had to do with the thought process of manhood. Really, it had to do with how people think. And the book read, and I don't remember even who the author of the book, said that the average human being has about 3,000 thoughts every hour. 3,000 different thoughts come through their mind. Now watch this. With about 70 to 80% of those thoughts are negative. All right? So if I took 80%, then out of 3,000, that's 2,400 of those thoughts are negative. And only because I allowed that to happen. Now, sporadic thoughts continues to come. And I don't care who you are, if you're a normal human being, you are thinking about something all the time. Something is always coming through your mind. So what do you do? You've got to get a hold of your own mind. And I was speaking today, I spoke at another place down in Palmdale, and I made this statement that engineers, particularly civil and environmental engineers, are crazy anyway. And I'm one of those. So I worked for 30 some odd years as a civil and environmental engineer for the government. So I claim to be crazy and have no problem with accepting the fact of being crazy. So if you're crazy, you can kind of say what you want to say. You can talk to yourself and it'll be all right, because you're crazy anyway. So I take the opportunity to say to myself, I have the option of speaking into my own life what I want my life to be and believe it's going to be. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what has gotten me through. Now I sit on top of 85 years old, have finished my working years, worked 30 some odd years for the government, 51 years as a pastor, and 18 years as a city council, vice mayor, and mayor of the city of Lancaster, California. And all of these things that I've gotten into over the years, and God has taken care of me and brought me through it. Now, what I'd like to do here real quick is to take you to a fella who was discouraged quite a bit, but he was able to overcome, and that is the brother by the name of David. David was a shepherd boy, as you remember. And let's take a look at what things went through him. Now, David's father's name was Jesse. And Samuel was looking because God had told him that go to Jesse's house and there's a king in there that is to be the king over Israel. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house with the anointing oil with intent to find that king because Jesse had a bunch of sons. And David was one of those sons, but was never really considered very much because all he did is take care of the sheep. Smelled like sheep, stayed with the sheep, lived in the field, and just knew how to take care of himself, and he was able to encourage himself. So here's what he did. Here's Samuel, and he tried to anoint the oldest one. And I don't remember their names at the point. But as he tried to anoint them, the oil would not flow. So when he went through all, I believe it was 7 or 8 sons, and when he went through all of the sons, and the oil didn't flow, Samuel looked over at Jesse and said, Jesse, God said it was a king in your house. He said, well, sir, that's all my son. He said, you got to have somebody. Yeah. He said, well, I got a little boy out in the back. His name is David, and he said, well, bring him in here. And when David came in, smelling like sheep and everything else, ruddy-looking little boy, and as he picked up the anointing canteen, the oil almost jumped out onto David. And Samuel said, that's him. That's him. But David knew how to encourage himself. And when he would be out meeting with the lions and the bears, and he knew that they were going to take one of the sheep, he would be able to destroy it. He took a lion's mouth and ripped it open, killed a bear. Anything that would harm no sheep, David knew how to take care of because he knew the power of God that lived in him. So he was absolutely that king that was to be selected and brought in to be the king over Israel. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's something to that, and I want to bring that to your attention. I don't know who you are that's listening up to me this morning, but I want to encourage you this. There's not going to be 100% smooth road. It just ain't no such a thing. And if you believe that, then you're believing what you should not believe about yourself. So you got to talk to yourself, encourage yourself, stand tall, and make sure that you do what God tells you to do. So David, as you remember him, when they were fighting against Goliath and all of the soldiers got scared and ran away, and little David heard about it, and he was supposed to take some water and some food down to the brethren. And when he got there, he said, you all scared of this guy? They said, oh, son, you just bring us the water and let us handle this business. This is for big men. Well, long story made short, David said, I'll take him on. Saul said, well, if you're going to take him on, put on my gear. David says, it won't fit. Saul said, well, let me put it on you anyway. So they put Saul's gear, and David couldn't even lift his arm. The armor was so heavy. So David said, this stuff has not been tested. Let me out of this. So he got out of it, got him 5 smooth stones, and told the giant, let's do it. And David wound up, threw 1 rock, and the giant fell to the ground dead. And the reason for that, David knew how to keep himself encouraged because he knew what God could do. One last scripture I want to leave with you. David, I think, is a good example of making sure that you know how to encourage yourself. So life is as life is. But what you've got to do is to remember whose team you're on. So come with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 31. Well, David, I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about David, but let's go to Paul now. Paul recognized what God had done for him and how God had changed his life. And he went on to talk about in Romans 8 and 28, he says, for we know that all things work together for good. Even that which is not good is good because God did it. And if God did it, it's good. Did you hear all that jumble that I just said to you? God, if God did it, it doesn't always taste good. But you can count on God. In verse 31, here's what he said. What shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me move on down to verse 35 because before we run out of time here. Let's look at it. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? As it is written, we are killed all day long. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded, listen to that, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What am I saying, brothers and sisters? Here's what I'm saying. Paul is saying at this point, now you may read that and think that Paul is saying, I'm keeping myself. But that's not what he's saying. I'm encouraged because God's got my back. Let me tell you this. What we need to do sometime is look at the possibilities that we have and develop confidence within ourselves that God's got your back, even when it looks like he doesn't. I want you to be encouraged today and allow God, no matter how rough it's been. Some of us have been through divorce. Some of us have been ostracized. Some of us have been in jail. I know that. And some of you probably in jail today, maybe even listen to this program. But I want you to know, no matter where you are, or what's going on, if you trust God, God's got your back. And I trust him with everything that is within me. I want you right now, wherever you are, if you're not driving, I want you to put your hands on yourself and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters and to encourage fathers wherever they are today and let them know that there's no room for doubt. We need to trust God and let him do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, whatever happens, tighten your belt and let God do it. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. I want to encourage you and let you know that this is a time to pick up yourself by your own bootstrap. And I would like to encourage you to come to our church, the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship. We're located at 37721 North 100th Street East in Little Rock, California. Our senior pastor is Pastor Rodney Rivers, a great preacher, a great man, and we want to encourage you to come and visit with our church. Be encouraged. Encourage yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, by the way, our services start at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. See you there. Amen.